It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. Well, did you have fun at Shaver Lake, my friend?
Yes, I did. I baptized my cell phone. My cell phone is now fully saved, but it's at the bottom of beautiful Shaver Lake.
Okay, the idea of the baptism is the second half of the resurrection.
I know. I was waiting for it. It never surfaced.
Not really baptism.
My brother-in-law, this, you know, army guy, whatever.
This is what they did with witches, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't float, so I guess it's cursed.
Yeah, there you go.
He went diving for it the next morning. I thought that was an incredible act of love. So I mean, I was really—it's
a black
really
phone.
Kind. It's a black phone. You're not going to see it. There's mud down at the bottom. Good luck. It's gone. It's a razor. It's sliced its way down to the bottom.
And it's a silty kind of mud too.
Yeah,
so it's probably.
Yeah. But you know what? It's not so bad because as I showed you sitting on the deck, it was being taken over by a sunspot. Somehow
the dark side was taking over your phone.
It was eating my phone. What's so tragic?
It started out about the size of a BB,
right?
And then it was up to about the size of a 50 cent piece.
A quarter,
probably.
Yeah.
But
it made recognizing phone numbers coming in really hard. But what was so terrible was my buffoonness. That's another new word for everyone.
Buffoonness.
I always make them up.
Not going to catch
okay. I didn't back up any of the info, so yeah. I have all these preciously important, valuable contacts for such a time as this, and God decided to just give me a fresh start.
Oh, so it's God's fault.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You want to know what? Normally in a moment like that, I would think I would boil over with frustration and slap the water, do something, be mad. I just kind of laughed. I emailed Paul and I said, hey, you got to send me your phone number because I lost it.
So if anybody's expecting a call from Brad.
Yeah, you can leave a message. But it is at the bottom of beautiful Shaver Lake. A fish, I think Nemo might respond.
So if you're waiting for a call from Brad, you might give him a call.
No, I got a temporary and everything's forwarded. So I'm back in working functioning order, I believe. But I had no idea what cell phones cost, my friend.
Well, you can get those free ones, you know.
I'm between contracts.
Oh, no.
Go for the iPhone. Yeah, I'm going to go for it.
Are you really?
Sure, why not? If I got to spend that much, I might as well go for the Cadillac, buddy.
Then I'll have to get me one because I don't know. You know the most exhausting part of my vacation?
Trying to get a hold of me.
No.
We did see you,
it
though.
It was the 2 hours we spent with you guys.
That was the most exhausting
portion. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you saw the flurry of activity in our
home. Oh, just plans and things and getting people and things and then phones ringing. And I'm sitting up on vacation and Brad hands me his cell phone. He answers it. This is before
the... What's an important phone call?
This is before the dunking. And he rings and goes, well, he's sitting right here. Let me give it to you. I don't even answer my phone on vacation.
I wasn't on vacation. I was remotely doing business.
Oh, you're on remote.
Yeah, I didn't consider it vacation. I had so much work to do. I just figured it was a working vacation up at Shaver Lake.
Well, don't be answering my calls at Shaver Lake.
I didn't. It was a call to me, and I just said, well, he's right here.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You answered my call.
And then you were the one that said, yeah, throw that damn blasted thing in the...
Like, I don't think I used the D
said
word.
Something like that.
No, I didn't use the D
and
word.
Next thing I know, my phone's in the lake. So my wife said, this is what Wayne said. So I figured you prophesied the doom of my cell phone.
No,
so,
I told Kelly to throw... I asked her, I said, does it frustrate you how much he answers that phone? And she said, yes. And I said,
yeah,
throw it in the lake.
Stop.
No, she didn't say that?
No.
I think she did.
She laughed. It was all good. It was all good. So, my cell phone is...
It rings a lot.
It's swimming at the moment. It's still on vacation. And, but you know what? You know the Cummings household? My daughter turned 6 today. Hi, Taylor. Happy birthday.
You're going to listen to it later. Shout out to Taylor.
And, We're in that in-between time. It's the last few weeks of summer. It's the few weeks before school, and it's the...
Ours is over. Sarah went back to work today, so ours is done.
All right. I'm sorry. We're still kind of trying to figure out where to squeeze what fun in.
Oh, okay.
It's all good.
Got any ideas?
Yeah, lots, but not enough time.
Not enough time or money, so it's back to work.
Not enough time, but we're creative.
And the kids start in a couple of weeks?
Yes, they will all be in school. My wife is going to have a life for the first time...
for she's 12 years.
Yeah, for she's gonna have like the morning hours to her all by herself. I think she's gonna go frolicking out in the field or something like that.
But Jonathan didn't quite make it to the World Series.
Jared's team.
Jared's
team.
Just missed by a bit.
Oh, they missed it by two steps, but the team that they lost to was in the World Series.
Well, was.
Was.
That's over, too.
They lost.
Oh,
so we were happy with that. So they made it all the way to the World Series, but we're happy they lost.
Anybody doing steroids?
No, but my kids went on a road trip with Grand Parish to see Barry Bonds hit his home run, and they went to the like four games in a row.
Yeah.
The next game he hit it.
Oh, so they didn't see it.
No.
They didn't see the drug he hit his home run. There you go.
Oh, so what do you think? Have any opinions on the matter, do we?
No, innocent until proven guilty. That's what I've always said.
Well, there you go. And in the press, it's guilty until you prove yourself innocent. That's all good.
Yeah.
Still would have liked to caught the baseball.
Yeah, and get beat up for it. And
it's fine. You can handle it.
Just IRS wants $300,000 for...
We got to sell it first. The they want money for the baseball before the guy sold it?
Yeah, they assess a value to it when it's caught.
You're
and
kidding.
You owe the taxes on that whether you sell it or not.
You're kidding.
No.
That's wrong.
And then if they assess the value and you sell it for more 6 months later, then you get capital gains on top of that.
That's just wrong.
Well, call the IRS. This is the country we live in.
That is just wrong. I'm not going to call the IRS.
Somebody's got to pay for this war.
Oh!
You're not in that tax bracket that they like giving tax breaks to. You're not in that bracket.
This is hilarious.
You're in the bracket they tax up to the
Our 522 burn is going to be like a 722 burn. We were up in Shaver Lake at the family reunion, all right?
Yeah?
The Carter clan. I got to tell you, it's an interesting bunch.
I saw part of it. I tell you.
No, you only saw part of it.
I saw part of it.
You saw the part that we all sleep in the same cabin. It's hilarious.
We went home taking a nap.
We were with 30 other of them. All right.
Yeah, I got you. And see, George Bush showed up. No.
Yeah. Oh, they had the mask. Right?
Okay.
So it's funny. My mom is a late blooming flower child. You know, so she's having her post-war
okay
thing.
With this.
It's funny. I don't know if she listens or not, but I think she's going, yes, I am.
Oh, well, okay.
Okay. So she's having a conversation with a dyed-in-the-wool cowboy from the Carter clan, and it's over global warming.
There's
another guy in the mix who is sort of like, how you can say, gender confused, and he's on the global warming side. The three of them having a discussion about whether global warming was true or not was absolutely, I should have videotaped it. It would be all over YouTube. It was hilarious.
Ah.
You got two dyed-in-the-wool liberals talking to an absolute cowboy conservative and nobody heard anything.
I've been in a lot of discussions like that. Yeah.
Well, I figured we needed our bridge builder in the midst of it, but
you didn't give me a call. I was right there. Give me a call.
Ah. My cell phone was still there,
but I didn't
think about it.
Might have done it, but I never even got a boat ride.
We invited you to the after dark campfire volleyball under moonlight thing. You never showed up.
Yeah, yeah. We go on vacation for different reasons.
There were sack races.
Yeah, well,
you missed those, huh?
And the egg toss.
And the egg toss. The egg toss was the best.
Because we heard enough
in
to
the
say.
Whole in the whole deal. In the egg toss,
yeah.
It was raw eggs. They've been out for a long while, so when they crack, it's not good. All right.
Yeah.
Bad eggs. So
one of the good things about having kids in your 20s is you don't get caught up in this stuff anymore.
I know. Jared and Jonathan were in the semifinals with my wife and I, and we graciously lost, but it was hilarious. It broke on Kelly, so I felt better.
Oh, I bet Kelly felt good.
It's about a 50-yard toss.
It was afterward that the cell phone ended up in the water.
Oh, yes, it was right, yes. Maybe
Kelly didn't enjoy the egg so much.
I didn't throw an egg at my wife.
Wait,
she just caught it rough.
But you did throw it towards her.
50 yards.
If not out of 50 yards and 60 feet in
drive. It wasn't a line drive.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought it was a pretty long egg toss. That was pretty good.
Well, summer keeps rolling on. We've had some good responses, actually, the last couple of podcasts. We focused a little bit on the relationally challenged and then being nice, being easy on people.
Were they nice in response?
Oh, yeah. I got some great responses from folks, some various ones from different places. I won't give the name of this person because what he's going to say about some folks later on. But he starts out this way. You guys are nuts.
All right.
One of these days, I want to sit in that room and watch you two cut it up with each other. I just sat here and laughed. That is until you guys hit on the substance of how we treat people. Wayne, I think this has to be one of the most critical things for folks to face when it comes to walking together. Grace has been stripped from most people, Christians included, by this harsh culture that seems to be about tit for tat.
Uh-oh.
Because victimhood and scapegoating rule the day too often. Isn't that a profound
statement?
That's
true.
That the culture has stripped grace from us. We don't know how to give grace in a conversation because we consider it a competition. And somehow I've got to come out on top. And if you
treat
me bad,
I saw the liberals taking on the cowboy. It wasn't working.
Hey, finish this. I would love to see these discussions happen on the forum, but some just seem to immediately react as if you are accusing them of something. And then it usually spirals out of control, which I've noticed around forums on the internet that's often true, right there. The things spiral out of control pretty fast once they get going.
Well, it happens.
That's all you gotta say?
What else do you say? It is true. The nature of people's kind of combative discussions as opposed to really hearing each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the thing that I don't think it was caused by the system, but being out of it, I found a new capacity I never had. I listen now. I talk a lot less. And I listen a lot more. It's amazing what you can learn.
It is amazing. In fact, I heard somebody say one time, when you're doing the talking, you're not learning anything. Because you already know what you know.
That's not true. Sometimes I talk and I've never thought
never
what I just
it,
said.
No.
Yeah, I learn a lot from myself talking.
So you take notes on yourself?
No, but I go, ooh, that was a good thought.
Part of it, too, is the expectation that these forums ought to be, you know, we have this ideal of what fellowship or communication would look like, and the fact is it's the lowest common denominator in a discussion that sometimes influences what happens. It's, you know, you can have 90 people want to get along, and two or three people want to make a fight out of something, and you're faced with the fight. I mean, either have to ignore it, walk away, or whatever. And so there's just a reality, and the web blow-ups happen. But I think overall, I mean, I think our forum is one of the gentler ones around the web, and I do think some wonderful things get shared there, and some friendships have begun from that, which I think is just wonderful.
Yeah, there's a lot of wonderful things that get wrestled with on there.
Yep. And then we got this from Annabelle in Oz, Australia. It said, a lesson to your latest podcast on the weekend, that was for me. You were talking about not finding God's people. I was really moved to tears listening to you and Brad, as was my husband. I think it was a God thing. I just wanted to thank you and Brad. I now feel more relaxed about the whole thing and won't try to make it happen, as that never works. I know. I just have to trust Father. He will bring his family to me, just resting in him now. What a great way to respond to that.
Oh, man, is that ever the truth? Because I think so oftentimes when out of our insecurity or our lack or just our hunger, we try to force the agenda of fellowship.
Yeah.
And it's exactly that. People don't feel the gift of friendship being offered. They feel the agenda of fellowship being demanded.
The need for a meeting.
Yeah.
They need to get you there.
Yeah, and it just, I do think it, to be able to live on what God provides and what he gives you, I think most of us don't trust that he's really generous.
Oh, we've been taught not to. Absolutely. If you're going to have fellowship, you got to go find it. You got to look for it. You got to hunt it down. You got to manipulate people into it who aren't sure they want to do it with you. Yeah, because you just can't trust that God's going to, he's going to drop friends in your lap and people who care about you and care about him. And yeah, we really don't.
Well, I mean, the whole of life, though, it's not just in terms of the friends he would give me, but I'm just talking about the whole of life. I think on the whole.
Yep.
And I don't know where this comes from. I really don't. But I know that it seems like the pervasive mindset that if I'm going to trust what God gives me versus what I'm going to give myself, I think most of us think we're going to do far better if we provide for ourselves.
Well, isn't it the exhaustion of religion? Because you've been taught if you do all these things, then God's got to do these things. And so you do all the things you're supposed to do, and God's not playing that game.
He doesn't seem to do his part of that equation.
He's sitting there going,
really makes you mad, doesn't it?
What are you doing? And we're just doing our own thing to try and get him to do it. And then when he doesn't do it, or it's just a little bit, you learn to milk every little bit of something the miserly God let slip from his fingers. I think religion sets us up to live with the miserly God. I know that's what it was for me when I was there. When I was trying to do all this stuff, and then God, you know, maybe a little blessing slips out sometime, and I'm still going to try harder and work more. And then you learn to protect. You learn that God helps those who help themselves. The whole Ben Franklin approach. You really... And most people really believe that that's true. And the idea that I can back off, that this God we serve is a generous Father. When we live out of what this rest Annabelle's talking about, so when I'm stopped trying to fight it and find it and earn it, then it's much easier for God to slip it into our lives. I think otherwise we miss it. I think we're so busy looking for it everywhere we can find it, and we got a big stick ready to beat it to death if we do find any vestige of it, that we miss it when it comes. And God's got people all around us he'd love us to walk alongside, but they're not exactly what we're looking for, so we don't find it.
Well, I think it's in Luke 6. I might have the address wrong.
We did Luke 6 last week.
But I think it's there where it talks about, you know, it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the
Luke 12.
The kingdom.
Yeah, Luke 12.
You look at that, and it's like, I remember someone, you know, kind of teaching out of that and doing a little bit of the word dynamics that always happens in a sermon. And I loved what they shared, because they said, you know, it is the imagery of, it's like a father pressing something special into the hand of a little child. Like, it's his good pleasure to, you know, like when you're given a little kid who can't hold on to something real
right,
well,
right.
You put it in there, and you fold their hand over, and you take time to make sure they can receive that. It's sort of that tenor of that passage where God is saying, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If we only lived in
if
that
we really
reality.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, too good to be true. It's like, I think most of us are like a little orphan in Oliver Twist. It's like, sir, may I have some more? And you're just about ready to get pounded.
Please, please,
yeah.
Please.
It's like, more gruel. And it's like, you know, yeah, we got to bust out in chorus. It's a food, glorious food. I mean, I do think
were
God,
you in this musical or
no,
what?
No, I wasn't.
Okay,
but,
I hope not. It's part just, of your vacation. You guys put
no,
on a musical one night.
No. I was actually just thinking about it, not sure where it's coming from. Could be God, maybe not. Might be the pizza.
You had pizza, you know what I mean?
For lunch, right? I couldn't be with my daughter to celebrate dinner because we're working right now.
Pizza for lunch.
So I jumped off the job site and we celebrated birthday pizza.
Yeah, how cruel are you to have a podcasting night on your daughter's birthday?
Well, we got soccer things tomorrow.
I'm kidding. No, we also had a conference call.
Yeah,
Brad
we
had
a bunch of
stuff earlier today. So, and yeah, we had some work we had to nail down. So we've been kind of busy with all that. But I do think when religion teaches us how to press in, seek God,
pray the price.
It's all the language of, if you don't really prove to God that you're serious.
Like he doesn't know.
Yeah, he's not. He's holding stuff back on that.
In his omniscience, he really can't see that.
And
can he?
You're crying up and down, screaming, yelling, going, nope, not enough. Jump up a little higher, a little more. I might give it to you. And I think a lot of that's because what religion, I think, at least it tried to shape in me, is how to get God on my agenda. And God's very miserly about my agenda. This I know.
Oh,
this
see,
I know.
When there's I'm the to Eureka get, right there.
Yeah, when I'm trying to get God to do what I want, it feels
he's not,
very miserly.
He's not playing Wayne's game.
When I wake up to just say, God, what are you putting in my life today?
I'm that's at, a whole different game.
It is a whole different deal. And I tell people, see, I got a call today from somebody that's just freshly kind of seeing through the illusion of organized religion in a way that he's still a little angry about. And so he went on his little rant about how we're not doing it and wasting all this money on buildings.
Takes about a year to get the toxicity out.
Oh, yeah, well, he's only 2 days into it, or a week or so.
Oh, fresh.
And so then he says, oh, well, we got these great answers now, man. We've got the house church movement and the cell church this and the organic church that. And what do you think of all that stuff, Wayne? I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh. You know, if you listen to me, I'm going to save you about 3 years of futility. And I'm not sure he did.
But you can't.
You can't.
You really can't.
You got to go try all those things, I guess. That's what somebody wrote me recently. Do you have to try everything before you finally give up? And not all of us do, but it seems like a lot of us have to try everything first.
Well, there is the whole dynamic that, and I mean, I think you can see it in the wilderness motif. God can deliver you out of Egypt, but that doesn't take the Egyptian way out of you.
No,
there's a lot of wilderness wandering. It seems to happen before we go, you know what, I think I'm going to believe in his goodness, and I think it's now time for me to enter in with him. And that's a whole different deal.
It is.
And I think a lot of times we're still wanting the system to work. The system that you're in might have burned you. Yeah. But usually you can find one or two people to blame it on.
Yeah. Oh,
but,
absolutely.
You know, but then you don't recognize. It really is. That's just sort of leaves on the tree. It isn't the fruit, and it's not the root. And you go, like, at the end of the day, it's our desire to have something that we can control.
So, unfortunately, at the end, the lesson is bad system. Got to find a better one. That's kind of what it comes down to.
For a lot of people, as opposed to bad systems can't work a system. God isn't a system.
Maybe God didn't leave us with one.
No, he didn't.
Maybe he left. I mean, what Jesus modeled with the boys and the ladies around Bethany and Capernaum, love God, love each other, watch friendships happen, share the journey, care for each other when you're hurt, encourage each other on the road, know God better, just keep growing. I
mean, real complex stuff that's unachievable.
And we come out of that with going, okay, well, the big hierarchical system didn't work, so let's do a network of house churches, because that'll be a good thing. And it just goes on. Somebody sent me a link today to something that, you know, what do you think of this? And I looked at it, okay, great priorities, but it's the same, we're going to produce it by human effort. That's always undercutting that stuff. And in the long run, people get involved with it for 4 or 5 years, at the end of it going, you know what, this is the same thing. It is. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, you start with your set of expectations. You figure out a system to try to make it happen.
Yep.
And then because God isn't doing any of that. I mean, that's a big statement. But
it is.
I think he's going to back it up.
That's a different kind of sacred cow you're kicking over.
Yeah, I know. But because he's not working my deal, at the end of it, here's the lunacy. I get really mad at him. Because he's not working my deal. You never stop to
because
take
I'm
a
only,
breath and
I'm only
think
doing it
that
for
through.
Him. That's why. I'm only doing it for him.
Yeah.
That's why I got involved. Yeah. But you're right.
What's a favorite food you don't like? It's not a favorite food if you don't
like it. Wow.
Yeah. Can you lift a rock? Can you make a rock that you can't lift?
I was going to say chocolate asparagus, but I didn't know where to go from there.
All right, chocolate asparagus. You hate chocolate asparagus, do you?
The chocolate part I like. The asparagus part, not so much.
So what if I spent the next week sautéing and getting it just right to bring you chocolate asparagus? Wouldn't you think what a stupid week you spent?
You spent, yeah.
Yeah. You might think, gee, that was perhaps even well-intended, but very misguided.
Yeah.
Because if you knew me, you wouldn't have wasted your week that way. I don't want that.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, the day of meeting Jesus for a lot of people may be a real bummer in that context if all they've done is the whole system's expectation, I'm working so hard for you, God deal.
There must be a way that we can learn the principles that will be enough that God will have to work in spite of himself. And that's the futility of what we're trying to do.
You just said God will have to work
in spite of himself. Yeah, who wants that?
Gosh.
That's ugly.
But when you sit back and look at it from that vantage point, it all looks ridiculous, doesn't it?
Yeah, but from the vantage point of...
We've done something good,
it turned out bad, we could do something better.
But we meant well.
Yeah! So now we just got to find better tools to produce a better thing, and our eyes are still on something other than him. It always comes back to that. It's on something other than, Jesus, how do you live in me today? How do I share your life with people you put alongside me today? Neighbors, friends, relative, whoever. And live in the freedom and joy of that. And... yeah, we spend all our time sautéing chocolate asparagus.
Wow.
I don't know what that is. But I think this is what we've got to see. This is from Jeff in Australia, and I keep saying I want to write you both after listening to your podcast. We've just finished listening to Helping the Relationally Challenged, which puts a lot of thoughts in perspective for us. Our journey out of the system and into Jesus' life is quite a long one, but the exit came suddenly over 4 years ago. At the time, it was clear that no one knew how to talk about the issues involved. The best we could try was, well, you guessed it, have meetings, which of course achieved nothing in the way of understanding. Even mediatorial help was no good. I realize now that it was only possible to think clearly once outside the cage. At the time, I was thinking, we have no idea how to talk these things out in the difficult times because we've never practiced having conversations in the good times. As the picture becomes more complete, we see that our whole basis for meeting as churches is based on a level of comfort as to agreeing on doctrine, hence all the brand names. What I like instantly about your podcast was that we're two guys having a conversation, sounding like you were friends, then stagger me, still having more conversations and still remaining friends, talking about real Christian things without the need to end up on top. How many times every week did we come from church feeling starved for friendship? So thanks for the part Father is giving you two in reestablishing our lives in Jesus. Anyway, it is also painful to realize that I was one of those who didn't attract people into friendship for the same reason. I think as I learned to live and love with no agenda, It's a lot easier for me, even if not for others, to walk in and out of lives, leaving them to Father. Realizing how long the journey has been for me helps me leave them to Jesus and the work of His Spirit. So freeing.
Isn't that great? That's a fantastic line, to live in love with no agenda.
Yeah, he's quoting one of us. So, yeah.
Oh,
it looks bad.
That was a great line, Wayne.
Yeah,
whatever it was. I don't know who said it, but it's really true and it's really wonderful because I do think that if you can embrace that, if that can get inside you where you're just going like, okay, I don't need to achieve something here. I don't know where we get that. I mean, I don't know that it's some imprint of God because I sort of feel like, you know, when Jesus on the cross says, it's finished, I think the need for religious achievement's over at that time.
Yep.
And I don't think we've ever spent a lot of time really soaking in the fact that God doesn't have something I must do for Him. There's a lot of things I can do with Him.
Yeah.
A lot of wonderful things I can do with Him. But there's nothing He's like up and waiting for me to do for Him.
Yep.
And I think until that gets settled, you are going to be on some kind of performance treadmill doing your workout, and you might get in great religious shape. You just might. But who cares?
How real is that?
It's chocolate asparagus.
And who wants to hang out with that?
Who cares?
He's all buff spiritually.
What?
What's that mean even? Oh, we do. I think we've taught you've got to earn it. You've got to work hard. You've got to try. You got to have the right system in place.
And then you're going to be proud if you achieve it.
You got to have the right people in the right system. And then, yeah, then, wow, look at what we've done. And
you want to know one of the glorious things about losing my cell phone?
Okay.
I just,
did you get a new one?
No.
You get an iPhone.
No, because I got to pay for it, dude. The reality is I don't really want to buy a new phone. I'm borrowing my son's. And in the midst of what's going on, I really felt like God was removing my capacity to work something. I had a lot of amazing contacts in there. I really did.
I did.
It's ground now.
And the whole principle of backup just escapes you.
Again, buffoonness. And the reality is I just lost it. And you're just going, oh, man, I just made an incredibly tragic mistake. And it's like, and? If I just do the things that God is putting in front of me, if He's really in charge, I don't think my cell phone at the bottom of the lake is going to stop Almighty God from accomplishing what God wants to do. I just took a chill pill, sat back and went, this is funny. You've removed my capacity to work something. I can't work my cell phone. I got all these great contacts. Not anymore. I got a clean slate, and it just felt like a burden off my shoulders because I can't manipulate something.
What's that sound I hear? The splashing of cell phones all over the world. People are going, I want that freedom.
I have a fresh start.
Oh, people now, I read something in a magazine recently. People call it declaring email bankruptcy. And what they do is they write everybody saying, my inbox is so full, I'll never sort it out. If there's something you want from me I've not given you, write me again and I'll try and keep up this time. It's kind of the same deal.
I'm going to try that. That might be great.
Toss myself into the lake.
I've got 79 in here that I haven't responded to.
Wow, I'm down to 31 today because I've been back for a while, so that's pretty good. Wow.
Whew. I'm not tired. Are you tired?
I'm always tired. These days. One more. This is from Brandon, and this email was titled, Slinging Freedom from Deep in the Buckle of the Bible Belt.
There you go.
He says, want to let you know there's at least one recovering Pharisee listening to you guys here in Arkansas.
Ooh, Arkansas!
Thanks for the refreshing moments of laughter and the honest look at religious systems. You guys have recently reminded me that every day I get to play a little part in what Father has planned for other people around me. It's so exciting to relax and flow in the moments of God's providence instead of feeling guilty and trying to make things happen. Isn't this just what we're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Before there was at least some sense of duty, but now what a joy it is for me to know that I have participated in Father's loving someone else. My relationship with Father has once again been renewed in joy. Thanks for helping me come back to putting first things first. I love you, Mila.
That's just good.
And then a side benefit, he says this. Also, I was talking with some guys from Chicago who were visiting a friend here in Arkansas the other night. It didn't take long for us to discover that we were all listening to the God Journey podcast.
What?
Instantly, we knew we were in like company. It was one of those rare moments when everything just felt right. We knew there would be good, fruitful conversation, and we instantly had something to talk about. We didn't push any sacred cows over, but there was and remains a special bond between us. Again, thanks for what you guys do. Isn't that pretty cool?
That is cool.
It does give you a framework.
That is cool.
We had that in the Stratford group that we met with in Canada. I keep getting email from folks that we were with there just saying, you cannot believe the fruit of relationships that just flowed out of the fact that you were here. People getting together, taking weekends off to go spend time in someone else's home. They just met the weekend we were together. And it's just fun to say, gosh, we've worked so hard at this for so long. One person wrote and said, I have tried to organize fellowship for these out-of-the-box people for the last 5 years. And every time we all got in the same room, it was just so weird. And we couldn't figure out why it was weird and why we couldn't do this better. And now we're just relaxing and letting the friendships happen. And we're finding such a naturalness and a joy in being together. I just think that's, man, if we could get people to realize that this is really not rocket science. God invites us into his family to just fellowship and enjoy him and enjoy the people he brings into our lives. And yet there's stuff he wants you to do with other people. He's going to connect you and free you to do it, just like some of the projects you and I are working on. We didn't know each other 8 years ago, and now we're involved in some stuff together. And, man, that may continue for a few more years. I may just drop you tomorrow. It's hard to say.
Go with the Spirit, man. You know, the whole passage where Jesus is taking Peter out to go fishing?
Yep.
He's going to take a professional fisherman fishing.
You've done that before.
And you look at this, and just a different application, because it's like, I think most everyone always tries to make this about evangelism.
Hmm.
What if it was just about life? You've been working so hard forever, just eking out the tiny little bit, and basically you're going like, I'm failing. It's not happening according to my expectations. I've been out all night toiling, and we've got nothing.
I got nothing.
And then going out with Jesus, and here's a guy that you go like, he's not a fisherman. He doesn't know what's going on. He's a carpenter.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, don't tell me what to do.
And worse, he's a preacher. He's not just a carpenter, he's a preacher.
Yeah, the preacher needs my boat.
He just wants to sit in my boat and yak for 2 hours.
Taking advantage of my boat.
And you talk about captive audience. Where's Peter going
to
go?
Yeah, try to walk now. And here it is. Go throw your net on the other side. Do something you've done before. Just do it on the other side. How stupid is that? I fished this entire lake all night. Throwing it on this side versus that side isn't going to matter. But the difference is doing it on his command, doing it out of intimacy of his direction, leads to a much different result.
And finding out how generous he is at what he gives. Even if someone said a catch, probably at least because Peter left his nets, then it's probably a catch he didn't even sell. Best catch of his life. And he's like, okay, I'm
and he didn't get caught by it. He was able to walk away from it.
He was able
it.
To walk away and go
no
on.
No agenda.
Oh, boy.
That's good.
He had some agenda later.
Yeah. He got dinged for it, too.
Oh, he did get dinged. Boy, you're looking out for man's interests instead of God's. That's a pretty common thing that we all do, isn't it?
I would think get behind me, Satan, stung just a teeny bit on the cheek.
Yeah.
Oops.
But then you're looking out for the wrong thing. If you're looking out for man's interest, looking out for yours, this is true of body life, of job provision, of where we live. If you're looking out for your interests, you're going to miss something God's doing.
Yeah.
The phrase that I we probably hit this phrase before, because I think it is probably the most poetic string of words in the message that Eugene Peterson wrote, where he talks about the unforced rhythms of grace. I just think that is as beautiful a phrase as it gets. All this stripping, all that we're going through, all that, you know, hurts in our life and we try and fight out to save ourselves. It's not God being mean to us. It's God standing there saying, I'm going to teach you the unforced rhythms of grace. Where you wake up in grace, you live in grace, you watch how it unfolds around you in a day. You have a peace in someone's life because God gave you peace. You have something God gives to you just because you're his kid and he loves you. And it's that unforced rhythm of grace that I think God wants us all to learn to live by. And yet as long as we're going to be driven to doing it on my own, thank you, we're going to miss that. And we're going to be angry at God. Because he's not doing what I think he should be doing. And all God's just saying is, can you trust me a little bit? Can you just trust me a little bit? I'll get you there.
Thanks for traveling with us today on The God Journey. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd appreciate your comments or your questions by email or at our website, thegodjourney.com. Stop by today and join the conversation.